And the reading today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, beginning at verse 7. And for those with a pew Bibles, it's page 1140. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tamara. Well, we've been working our way through Romans for the last 4 weeks, and we've reached the final section of the letter this morning. And in this letter, Paul explains how through faith in Jesus, we're given a new status, we're made right with God, we are a new family, we're included in God's people, and then we have a new future. A transformed life, living in obedience to Christ. And you may remember me telling you that the church in Rome was divided. Jews and Gentiles were in opposition to each other. And Paul has spent the first 8 chapters of this letter explaining why the Gentiles were right in saying that the Jewish law can't save them. All it can do is point to their failings. But he doesn't simply want to come down on one side of the argument and say that all Jewish tradition is worthless. So in the third part of the letter, he turned his attention to the question of what's to become then of God's original chosen people, the descendants of Abraham. And so Paul makes it clear that God will honour those promises. He doesn't know how, he doesn't know when, but he is sure that what God did was not in vain. So what has Paul told us so far in his letter? He's told us that because of our faith in Jesus, whether we're Jew or Gentile, black, white, green, or anything else, we are now together Abraham's family. That new humanity that's being transformed by God's Spirit. We're Abraham's spiritual descendants because, like him, we have faith. That is the qualifying characteristic to belong to God's family, faith in Jesus. And this is how God is fulfilling his ancient promises to bless the nation of Israel and through them to bless every other nation as well. Therefore, the only reasonable response is for these Jews and Gentiles in Rome to live together in unity. And this is what he deals with in the final part of the letter, from chapter 12 onwards. And in chapters 12 and 13, pages 1139 and 1140, he shows that this unity will come from a commitment to serve and forgive each other. He talks about how love should be sincere in chapter 11, and how we should hate what is evil, cling to what is good. He urges them to use all their energies for the service of each other. In chapter 13, he talks about how people should be obedient to the governing authorities. Trust that God knows what he's doing when he let them be in charge. And he reminds them to let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So it's fine to be in debt with love, but just pay up everything else. That's what Paul seems to be saying. In chapters 14 to 15, he focuses specifically on the issues that were causing divisions in the Roman church. So if you look at the start of chapter 14, you'll see him talking about food, whether it's okay to eat any sort of food or whether certain foods really are not acceptable. He also talks about the Sabbath. He says, some of you will eat anything, others abstain from certain foods. Don't judge each other. Some of you consider one day more sacred than the others, while others of you treat every day the same. Don't judge one another. These things don't define who is in or out of God's family. We know what defines whether you're in or out. It's whether you have faith in Jesus. So don't get hung up on the differences between you that aren't essential. Learn to respect each other's differences instead. This is the way in which love will unify and heal Jesus' family. So the words that Tamara read talk about how one day we will all be judged by God, and that we don't live for ourselves only, putting our interests first above all else. We're joined, first of all, to Jesus, and secondly, to each other. And those family bonds should influence the way we think and the way we behave. If you're strong in your faith and not worried that you might displease God if you eat the wrong thing or don't honour the Sabbath, don't look down your nose at people who are careful over such things. There's much to be said for keeping the Sabbath properly, giving ourselves a decent rest once a week. And the food laws make a lot of sense from a hygiene point of view. If you've ever eaten dodgy shellfish, you'll know exactly what I mean. Chapter 15, verse 7, he says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Isn't that it, in a nutshell? If Jesus has accepted someone, who are we to say they're not good enough? Who are we to say that their way of being faithful is not the right way? It's good enough for Jesus. It should be good enough for us as well. And Paul says, just concluding that thought, accept one another as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. One of the things that will enable God's name to be honoured and respected in the community at large is if Christians love one another, if they truly are showing an example of unity and diversity, able to coexist even though they're different. So as we finish our look at Paul's wonderful letter to the Romans, let me take you somewhere else, to John's awe-inspiring vision of the people of God at the end of all things in the book of Revelation. In chapter 7, we find these words. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." So this is where we are heading. To be part of a new humanity, which is a colossal crowd of people all in all their dazzling diversity. But none of them saying, "Look at me, look at me." All of them are singing one song, a song of praise and honour to God the Father and to the Lamb. The Lamb being the way that John frequently describes our Lord Jesus Christ. This puts me in mind of a song that Dave shared with us in a sermon a while ago. If you were there on that Sunday, you might remember. It was a song that was sung in all sorts of languages, a song of praise to God. And it was a beautiful picture, in miniature, if you like, of this picture that John gives of the whole crowd worshipping God in their distinctive languages. Salvation belongs to him, and only him. John Griffiths taught me recently that this is a direct thumb of the nose to the Emperor Nero, who had coins minted which declared that he was the source of salvation. Oh no. As the Apostle Peter said it when on trial before the Sanhedrin, there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And at his name, every knee will bow. So as we come to the end of Romans, we've experienced a letter that's full of joy, written to a church where joy was maybe in short supply because the divisions and the dissensions between them were causing unhappiness. Paul reminds them of the wonders of our faith, the glory that all we need to do to be part of God's family is to say yes to Jesus when he looks you in the eye and says, follow me. Amen.